Welcome
this morning to one of the first morning of Keswick seminars. It's great to see you. My name's Claire Heathwhite and I'm one of the trustees at Keswick Ministries. And just to make sure you're in the right place, you are in the relay tent and we're going to hear from Adrian and Celia Reynolds and their seminar will be on marriage. So it's lovely to see you this morning. So welcome to Adrian and Celia. Adrian and Celia have been married for 30 years, so very experienced, and will have a lot of wisdom to share with you from the Bible and from their own lives. They've written on the subject of marriage and intimacy, and I'm sure you can get hold of their books in the bookstall. Celia works at home, is a homemaker, but also part-time works for the church in Market Harborough. And Adrian is a director of the FIEC, the Federation of Independent Evangelical Churches, having also worked as a pastor and as a conference organiser and speaker. So we're very pleased to have you with us this morning. So I will pray for us and pray for Adrian and Celia as they come to speak. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to think about our marriages, to be challenged from your word, to be encouraged in faithfulness in marriage. Please give us open hearts, open ears, a willingness to hear and to put into practice what we learn. And Lord, we pray for Adrian and Celia that you would help them to speak faithfully from your word, to say what you would have them say. And I pray that you'd sustain them this morning and use them to encourage us to for our marriages to be more a reflection of Christ's love for his people. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming out of the lovely sunshine into this quite dark, cold big room, but I'm glad that you made the effort to come and I hope that we can encourage you this morning. I just want to introduce ourselves a little bit more so you know who we are and why we're standing up here. We met as teenagers in a Crusader class in 1984 and started dating as teenagers and then, as Claire said, we've been married for 30 of those 37 years. And we have now got three daughters, two of whom are married. We've got one teenager still at home, and three grandchildren have appeared in the last couple of years. And for us, our marriage has been, obviously like anyone else, had its challenges, but it's been a great source of delight to be together, to serve together. And we felt like we wanted to encourage other people in their marriages. It's not that our marriage is perfect, but we do feel it's something that we need to be involved with in encouraging other couples in their marriage. And that's why we've been running workshops for married couples, both in churches and particularly for married couples who are involved in ministry. So that's a little bit of our background.
Well, we're going to think today about faithfulness and how that cashes out in marriage. We often think about marriages and love. We don't often think about faithfulness, or if we do, we relegate faithfulness down to thinking about sexual fidelity. And what we want to show you is actually it's a lot more than that, and there are a lot more implications that flow out of a faithful marriage. It's important to know right at the outset that love and faithfulness are a key pairing of Bible words. So let me read to you from Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. So when it comes to thinking about God, about the nature of God, the character of God, love and faithfulness often go together. God is the loving one, the one who is kind, the one who is generous. And he is the faithful one, which means he is trustworthy. Or to be more specific, it means he always keeps the promises he has made. He is true to his word.
So faithfulness is about being true to your word, doing what you said you've promised to do. And we've got a question for you to start with. And we've got a lot of questions this morning. If you're here with your spouse, that's great because you can talk about those things together. I'm sorry, if you're here on your own, you will have to sort of think on your own. We're not kind of going to group up, really, because of the personal nature of this seminar. But I want you to think back to your wedding day. I'm assuming that most people will already be married. If you haven't got married yet and you're here sort of in preparation, then perhaps you can be thinking ahead to your wedding day. And I want you to think about what you promised to do. So it may have been a vow that you read out from a service book, a kind of normal wedding vow. It might be something that you made up yourself, things that you promised to do for each other. It might have been something that you've promised to do recently. And I want you just to think of some of the words that you promised to do. We don't have actually a physical handout. Some of you may have downloaded something to fill in, but you can just write it down. You can just talk about it. So what did you actually promise to each other? So spend a few minutes discussing that.
I guess like us, you made the same kinds of promises when you got married. Celia revealed there that we're nonconformists when she said about making up your own promises, because of course, depending on where you get married, you might have more latitude to do that. But the sorts of things that we wrote down here, I'll just write some of them down on the screen, and I realise if you're watching this later, you won't see the screen. But we promised to do things like, and we don't want it in red, do we? Ink colour, white. We promised to love, honour. Maybe you promised to obey, to protect. You might have had the word serve in there. You might have had some concept of for better and worse, till death us do part, all that kind of stuff. Those are the promises we made, aren't they? And what we want to think about today is what does it mean to keep those promises today? We've been married 30 years. Some of you will have been married longer than that, some of you less, some of you looking forward to a marriage. But what does it mean to actually be faithful to those promises? What does it mean to be faithful? And as we think about that question, we will shine a light, as Claire was intimating in her prayer, we'll shine a light on the faithfulness of God. Because our marriages are, in some poor way, a reflection of the faithfulness of God to his people. The faithfulness of Christ the bridegroom to the church, his bride. And that's a picture that we always want to keep in mind. So keep those words that you've thought about at the back of your head. We'll keep coming back to them as we go through these couple of sessions together.
So just to introduce a bit about how we sort of run these marriage seminars so that you've got an idea of where we're going. We've only really got two brief sessions, haven't we, this week? But we want to give you some tools or like a sort of framework that you can then use for whatever questions come up in your marriage. I guess, you know, there might be some seminars that you go to that will give you answers. But we feel like it's a better thing to equip you with the tools that you need in order to answer the questions that come up in your marriage. And the reasons for that are that we're all very different, aren't we? Different personalities. Our marriage will look very different to yours. And we're all in different seasons of life. I can see, just looking around, some of you maybe have only been married a short while. Others will have been married longer. You may have children, you may not. The different pressures that there are on your marriage might be different to each other's. So we're all in different kind of contexts, aren't we? Different experiences. And life looks very different at the moment, doesn't it, than it might have done a couple of years ago. So we want to try and give you tools, really, rather than answers this morning. And these tools are things that you will need to work on together. So again, that's why we're giving you opportunity to discuss, to talk, to listen to each other. If you come away from this just with a sort of unilateral decision that we're doing this without really sharing it with your partner, it's not going to work. So actually you'll get more out of the seminars the more you put in, the more you're willing to talk and to listen and be open with each other. So it's really a kind of helping you to work things out for yourself. Although we do recognise that there may be couples here who are having more serious difficulties and will need to have some extra help. And we've put some resources on the handout, which we'll refer to, some books that you can use. But also we would want to encourage you, if you do need more help with your marriage, not to leave it until things are too bad, have gone too far down the road. Please do seek out the wisdom of perhaps an older couple in your churches, or to use professional counselling. Please don't just think that's not for us, because you know we all do need extra help from time to time, and that's something we would encourage you to do. But really for this morning, we want to give you some tools. We want to give you an opportunity really to reflect, to talk, to listen to each other, and to pray together. So that's kind of where we're heading.
Our approach, which by the way is not unique to us, is to walk around the rooms of the house. And the reason for doing that is twofold. First of all, it gives the couple of sessions some structure. So rather than just kind of talk about stuff in general, it's nice to have some structure and to break things down into different areas of life. Now, I know actually life is open plan. Life is not like this, is it? And life is open plan, where everything impacts on everything else. It's like a 1950s American sitcom house, rather than a house like this. But if you're going to think about your marriage clearly, you've got to break it down a little bit. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk around the rooms of this house. I'll tell you a bit more about that in just a moment. The other reason, though, for using the house analogy, and the reason we quite like it, is it works as a reminder. Because although I doubt any of your houses look exactly like this, you do have most of these things in your house. You probably do have a bathroom. Internal, maybe it's external, I don't know. But you probably do have a bathroom. You probably have a kitchen, you have a bedroom, you have a living room or somewhere to sit and relax. So you've got these things in your house. And therefore, what we're hoping is, as you go home, and you've taken in a lot of stuff at Keswick, lots and lots of inputs, but as you kind of flop down on the sofa, it does remind you, oh yes, I remember something we heard. Or you go into the bedroom, I remember something we heard. In the bathroom, I remember something we heard. So it serves as a reminder. And as Celia said, let's just reinforce this. It's talking together and praying together and planning together that will make a difference to your marriage. I think sometimes as couples, we presume on things in our marriages, especially when we've been married a while. We can presume on love. We can presume on faithfulness. We can presume on the other person supporting us and actually presume on what we think they need. And it doesn't matter whether you work in the secular marriage world or whether you work in the Christian marriage world. All the experts agree, and the Bible backs it up, that communicating, talking, is absolutely critical to success in worldly terms. So let me just talk you through the rooms and explain to you how they work. So what we're going to do is we're going to basically go through a day in the life of. And you have to imagine that you wake up, and what's the first thing you do? You nip into the bathroom. We're going to start in the bathroom. And the bathroom is the place where you go to get clean. It's the place where you go to be refreshed. You think of a nice, refreshing shower on a hot bath on a cold day, or a refreshing cool shower on a hot day. And we're taking this as a picture of our spiritual life and how being married helps us cultivate a healthy walk with Jesus, each of us. That's the bathroom. Then we're going to go into we used to call it the study, but we've learnt now over the last 18 months to call it the home office. That's what you have to call it. And the home office is the place where you work. And each of us is called to some kind of work. That might be in the workplace, that might be in the home, it might be in the church, or probably for many of us here, all three. And we're going to ask the question, how does faithfulness in marriage allow us to enable each other to serve Christ in all those different realms of life? And then, of course, when you come home from work, you're into the kitchen to prepare the meal. And we're going to use the metaphor of the kitchen primarily as a place where you welcome others. It's the place where hospitality happens. You might have a small kitchen like us. We haven't got a table in our kitchen. But imagine your dream kitchen, you know, that sort of big farmhouse kitchen with a massive table in the middle. And imagine welcoming visitors and family and whoever around the table. We're going to use that as a picture of the way that faithfulness in marriage allows us to be welcoming to others, and indeed to share the good news of the gospel with others. We're going to see how marriage is a great way and a place to do that. Now, it's been a long day, and so you're tired by this stage, so you go into the living room and you flop down on the sofa, and we're going to think tomorrow a little bit about how faithfulness in marriage helps us relax and rest. It's not something that's often covered in marriage seminars, but we think it's really important. And then finally, we're heading off to the bedroom. Just to say, by the way, we've missed out the nursery, which is right at the top. And the reason we've missed out the nursery is because, first of all, we were asked to do a marriage seminar, not a parenting seminar. And so that's the first reason. But secondly, not everyone has kids or can have kids. It's a different topic. It's maybe, I don't know, Keswick 2024. We'll be back for that. So the nursery obviously is important. It's there at the top of the house, but we're not going to cover it. But we are going to think tomorrow a little bit about the bedroom. We're going to think about intimacy in marriage. And you can perhaps work out some of the things we might say. But hopefully we'll have some helpful things to share there as well.
Wow, that seems quite a lot to do in two sessions, doesn't it? So each room is only going to be a bit of a brief stop-off, but we just want to get you starting to think about this and thinking about how to cultivate a faithful marriage in these different areas. So having just thought about each of those rooms, we want you to take a minute to discuss together which out of these rooms do you think is the most healthy in your marriage at the moment? Where are you doing well? So is it in the bathroom, sort of encouraging each other in your spiritual walk with the Lord? Is it in the bedroom where you feel like intimacy is, we're in a good place at the moment? So where are the good points in your house at the minute for your marriage? And then where you think maybe is the area that you need a bit of encouragement in, which room might that be? Is it in encouraging each other to reach out to others, to welcome them in? I know that's been a really difficult thing to do, hasn't it, in the last year? And perhaps it's something that, as we begin to think about doing it again, we need to be encouraged to look outward. Do we need a quick recap of what they all were? Because we did go quickly through them, didn't we?
There they are. You can remember what they are, can't you?
So living room, I didn't mention, was the work. Living room is rest, how to help each other rest. The study in the area of work. I think I mentioned the others.
Yep.
Okay, just a couple of minutes to have a chat.
And just answer for yourself what you think, and then if you're here with a spouse, obviously you can't do this if you're here on your own, but you could do it later. If you're here with a spouse, just keep your answers hidden for a moment, and then look at theirs. You might find that very interesting. Even that might be a good starting place, because you might find that the things that you think are strong, they don't. See what you come up with. By the way, just a reminder, we're not asking people to share things. It's entirely personal and private to you. Okay. So you can be honest. Right, those are the kinds of questions we're going to ask you today. We're going to get you just to think about little questions, little practical questions. And you might get to the end of today and think, there was kind of no rocket science, no silver bullet. And there aren't really silver bullets. And the tools we're going to give you are just some little frameworks, really, for ways of talking about things. And sometimes that's all it needs, is a little question, a little exercise to go through. And it can make it seem a little bit, maybe like school, perhaps, but actually it's the discipline of sitting down, isn't it, and talking about things that can really make a difference. So I do encourage you to plug away with it. Now, I don't know how many of you perhaps put this down as a strong point or how many of you put it down as a weak point. Perhaps you're at Keswick this week because you feel you're full of the joy of the Lord, you're doing well with the Lord, you just want to keep sort of, pushing on, in which case this is a strong point. Perhaps you're at Keswick because actually you feel pretty much empty, rock bottom, and you've come, like many people do, to be filled. But the bathroom, it's a great picture, I think, of our spiritual life. The bathroom is the place where we go to get rid of dirt, external and internal. I won't say much more about that. And we go to be refreshed, don't we? We go to be energized. And, of course, being cleansed and being refreshed, both of those words, they're Bible ideas. They're a beautiful picture of the living relationship we have with our Saviour. And we have those relationships as individuals. We don't relate to Christ as a couple. We are individually saved. We're not saved as a couple. Nevertheless, marriages should enable us to flourish as believers. They're good things, marriages. They're given to us by God. And therefore, in a strong, faithful marriage, part of loving and serving and wanting to protect and keeping our promises to one another is actually enabling one another to flourish as believers. Now, it's one thing to want that, and it is quite another to make it happen. And in some ways, I think this room is both the hardest and the easiest to think about both at the same time. It's the easiest because actually we all know the kinds of things that will help us flourish as Christians. It's the basics, isn't it? It's the daily time with the Lord. It's listening to God's word. It's coming to events like this. It's reading our Bibles for ourselves and with others. It's perhaps reading Christian books. It's talking with Christian friends. We all know the basics. In that sense, it's easy. I guess you could say everyone's bathroom looks the same. You know, we've all got the same things in our bathroom. You might be a bit posh and have a bidet, but apart from that, you know, our bathrooms all essentially look the same, don't they? But it's also the hardest because it's painful to admit when we're struggling. And that's true, actually, even to those closest to us. It can be very painful to admit we're struggling. And actually, as you may know, if you've been there, getting into healthy routines when you're feeling low can be really hard. It can be really hard just to kind of get back on track. But actually, that's where being married is brilliant, because if we can't count on the one that we've made promises to and has made promises to us, who else in the world can we count on? Now, like much of life, there's no substitute for talking. And there is a place, I think, therefore, for a regular spiritual audit amongst couples as we ask one another questions about how we're doing as Christians. And Celia's just going to talk us through an exercise that you could do or some variation of it to help you think about this question.
Well, we just want you to start with thinking through some of those things that Adrian's just mentioned. What are the different things that we can do that will help us to grow as a Christian? And think about that for yourself personally, but also for your spouse. What kind of things will help the other person to grow? So that's really sort of step one. Shall I explain step two at this stage?
Let's just do step one.
Step one. So just list all the different things that you can think of that would help you or your spouse to grow as a Christian.
We'll do this. By the way, we do all these exercises alongside you because we find them useful. So we'll just write our answers up on here. So if you just mute the mics for us, we'll write our answers up. And don't copy us, but if you need some inspiration, you know where to come. I hope you've got some ideas. You should have some ideas, shouldn't you? This isn't the difficult part. There's some of our ideas. Hope you can read my writing. It's not great, is it? But you can see there's a variety of things. Now, some of those things are more important than others. But here's part two of the exercise. Just look at your list or our list. It doesn't really matter. Which one of these do you want to make more of? Just circle one. Which one of these do you think, oh, that's missing? Or it's not working right? It might be your quiet time. It might be something as simple as that. Or perhaps that it's Christian friends. You haven't really got time with Christian friends. Just circle one where you need to put some investment in, where you think, I want before the Lord to make progress in this area. Just circle one. And if you're here with a spouse, just then show your spouse what answer you've come up with. Okay, part two of the exercise. Now just think, with your spouse, if you're here with them, or just on your own, just think, how can I help my spouse? Or what kind of help, if you're here on your own, what kind of help could I ask for? Let me just explain what I mean. And we were just chatting about this just now as we were doing the exercise. And actually for us, it probably is here, Christian friends. We found that really hard. Excuse me. We found that really hard over lockdown. And especially when you're in Christian ministry, what you really need to do is develop good friends outside that you're not working with and serving with all the time. We found that really hard over lockdown. So we were just beginning to think, how do we help one another? This is about, how do I serve Celia? How does she serve me? How can I help her find time to spend with Christian friends? How can she help me find time to serve with Christian friends? So just think about that question, either on your own or with your spouse. How can you help your partner do what they want to do? Do what they need to do to make progress in this area? That would be faithfulness in marriage. Just have a think about that question then.
I hope you've managed to come up with perhaps even just one very simple thing that you could do to help your spouse in this area. And what we'd like you to do now, just take a minute to pray and commit to do that thing before the Lord. So just pray with your spouse if they're here, or quietly on your own if you're on your own.
Right. For each of these rooms, we're going to give you, well, we've called them pro tips. I don't know why I've called them pro tips. We're not professionals. And they're just things that we've learned as we've gone along. I think you can file this away in the category of godly wisdom rather than anything that's prescriptive. But sometimes it's just hard to know, how to even make a start in these different areas. So maybe just one or two ideas. The first idea is this. If you are struggling, and every Christian has moments at the bottom of the trough, don't they? Every Christian has those. And if you are struggling, don't be too ambitious in getting out. I mean, be ambitious in that you want to get out, you want to crest the hill, but don't think I'm going to walk up the hill, whatever it's called, I forget its name, behind us, if you've never walked up a hill before in your life. I spent most of last year on my back for various reasons, ill with various things, and so this year we did the Couch to 5K. And the running program, and you think to yourself, I'm going to run 5K in the first week, and you put your earphones in, and you get out, and you start running, and the little voice in your ear says, right, you're going to run for 90 seconds. I mean, that's a bit pathetic, really, but actually you realise that's all you can do the first week, and then the second week you do a little bit more, and the third week you do a little bit more, and then the voice in your ear says, if you found this week difficult, just do it again, just keep going with little increments. And that's great advice for life, I think. That just do some small things to make a difference if you're struggling. Don't think to yourself, I'm going to read all of Calvin's Institutes next week because my quiet life feels a bit dry. That's not going to help. Maybe all you need to do is say, I'm going to set aside 5 minutes each day just to listen to an audio Bible. Something very small like that could make a big difference and help you make progress. So if you're struggling, don't be too ambitious. Second tip is this. Why not redo this exercise often? It's very simple, isn't it? Because we all know the things that help us to grow. So actually, I think our answer to this question, Celia and I, is different now than it would have been a year ago or 2 years ago. I think probably the pandemic has affected that. So actually, redoing this exercise every now and again, just 10 minutes after a meal, you're sitting with your cup of coffee and you say, oh, well, let's do that little exercise again, can be really valuable and really helpful. And the third thing is, don't assume that you know what the answer is. Lots of marriages do founder on presumption. That we kind of take the other person for granted, or we presume we know what our spouse wants or needs without asking. And actually, this is another of those areas that we need to be able to talk to one another. I've been reading a book recently, and just as part of my quiet times, reading a chapter a day. And I've really appreciated Celia saying, what did you find useful today? What did you learn from that book today? And it just helped me replay it. And Celia wasn't assuming there that she knew, exactly what I was struggling with or finding difficult or finding challenging or encouraging. So we mustn't presume on knowing one another. Obviously, the longer we've been married, the better we do know one another. But we mustn't presume on that. So those are our little tips, if you like. We've also got a book to recommend under each section, sometimes a very short book. Now, this is different from all the other books because it's not been published yet. But I want you just to note it down. You can actually pre-order it from the Good Book Company website. But what you can't do is go into the bookshop and order it. But actually, one of the key ways that we encourage one another, that we demonstrate faithfulness to one another, is by praying for one another. And there are other books about praying for your spouse as well, but I do love this series. I don't know if you've seen them. Five Things to Pray for Your Kids, Five Things to Pray for Your City, Five Things to Pray for Your Neighbours, Your Family. There's a whole series of them, and they're really good. And Five Things to Pray for Your Spouse, I've had a bit of a sneak preview of it. It's out in January. So if you've got an electronic diary or you've got a little sticker on the fridge, put it on the fridge. Really helpful little book so that you can pray for one another in a good way. Okay, we're going to leave the bathroom. We realise that we've only stopped there very briefly, but we've only got a little bit of time in each room. We just want to get you started, really, in each room. Let's move to the home office. This is the place where we think about working for Christ together, serving Christ together. Now, when we talk about work here, when we talk about service, we mean our service for the Lord in its entirety. And all of us, I think, probably work in three or four broad areas. Those of us who are not retired possibly serve in the workplace. We serve in the home and the family. We serve others, loving others. We were thinking a little bit about that last night in the main meeting. And we also serve in the church. It seems to us that those are the four broad areas. And it's important to say, when we think about this room, that all of those are biblical callings. All of them are biblical callings. All are spiritual. One is not more spiritual than another. So serving in the church is not more spiritual than serving well in the workplace. And driving a wedge between them, I think actually that's part of the reason the Reformation really took off. It was trying to take the wedge away that the church had driven between the sacred and the secular. It's an unhealthy wedge. And so actually driving a wedge between them, when we do that in our lives, it creates imbalance, it creates disunity, and perhaps even that's a conversation you need to have in your marriage. It's also worth saying that we mustn't create a false hierarchy. So I don't think we can say, for example, serving in the home is more valuable than serving in the church, nor the other way around, nor that serving in the workplace is somehow not as important as serving in the home. They're all callings that God gives us. And so each have high priority. And that kind of ordering our lives, have you ever heard that thing where you say, God first, then spouse, then family, then church, then work? That's the kind of order of priorities. That's biblical nonsense, really. God is always at the top. But setting those other things against one another in a hierarchy, that's not in the Bible. In the Bible, we do all that we do as though we're serving the Lord, not men. And so we need to make sure that we've got the right kind of balance in this area as we serve Christ. But we also need to recognize that when we get married, we introduce some extra complexity into life that people who are single just don't have. Now, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 7. It's quite a complicated passage. I'm not going to spend a long time here because we want to give you the practical tools. But it's interesting the language Paul uses when he's talking about those who are married. He talks about their service for the Lord and they're serving one another. And he talks about them having interests which are divided, 1 Corinthians 7. He doesn't mean that marriage is a bad thing. Paul is very clear, marriage is a good thing. But what he means is, it's just making a practical point that when you get married, you've introduced a bit more complexity to the equation. You've introduced someone else that you're serving, as well as in 1 Corinthians 7 when Paul is talking about it, serving Christ in the church setting. So we just need to be realistic that actually this room is a bit messy. It's a bit complicated for most of us. There's lots going on. You can't simply say, well, I do this job and that's my job in the home office. No, you might have that job, you might have some responsibility in church, you've got some responsibility in the home, you've got some responsibility towards your spouse. We've all got those things. And so the home office is not neat and ordered. It's a messy, it's kind of a messy environment.
So we're going to give you an exercise. Can we put the slide on the screen? just want you to take a few minutes just on your own, first of all. If you've got a pen, that's great. Otherwise, you'll just have to think. Thinking about where you serve, what are the different responsibilities that you have, both maybe in the workplace, in the home, family, serving others, that maybe wider family, maybe neighbours, community, and then what your perhaps role is, if you have a role, or what responsibilities you have. We talked a bit about rotas, didn't we, last night? That's been so nice not having rotas for a year. Well, maybe you've had rotas, but we've not. So just think about what are the things that basically take the majority of your time and responsibility. And then together, talk through what your list looks like. And not just talk, but listen to each other. Thinking about perhaps some of the areas that you're finding quite challenging, where you perhaps just feel overextended, things that take up a lot of your time and energy. It may be not just how long those things occupy your time, but what kind of energy they take from you. What are the challenges right now for you? And then just spend some time talking and listening to each other about what your little chart looks like.
Okay. The reason we put the grid up, by the way, like this, is because actually if you divide the paper into four and you start writing on things that you're doing, maybe there's a few things here, it certainly seems for us there's a lot of things there, quite a lot of things there, you can begin to see whether there's an imbalance. And now, obviously, not all those crosses might represent equal kinds of tasks, but we struggle more to put things and to think of things down there because we're so committed at church and so committed at work. And growing family, grandchildren appearing, suddenly you find that one box starts slipping away. So even just doing this exercise of writing the things down can actually be quite helpful. Just help you think about your life and your marriage and how you help one another. Now, remember, faithfulness is about serving one another. It's about protecting, loving, honouring, all those kinds of words. And just to make it personal then, if I want to fulfill my promises to Celia, if I want to be faithful to my promises to Celia, I have to be an enabler in our marriage. I have to make sure that the things that God has given her to do, that the work, the service that the Lord has given her, I'm enabling her to do. So just a little follow-up exercise is this. Just think of a couple of things, just two ideas of ways that you personally would like your spouse to help you, to enable you, maybe to free you up or to release you for something. Just to think of two simple ideas. Just write them down on your own. Or if you're here on your own, just write them down. You'll have to go and show your spouse later and say, you'll never guess what I learnt. And Adrian and Celia say, you've got to do. But don't say that. So just write down an idea, just something for you. And then once you've written down your couple of ideas, if you dare, show them to your spouse, your partner, and say, what about this? Go on, do that.
If you could just draw your discussions to a close. We realise that we're running short on time, so do carry on these conversations after the seminar. But it'd be great just to give you a minute to pray together about the things that you've just been talking about, how you can encourage each other in these areas. So just pray for a few minutes.
Right, let me share some pro tips before we finish. I'm sure you know this, I'm just kind of stating the obvious at one level, but there is always a danger with listing things down. More does not equal better. Serving better does not mean just doing more and more things. It may mean doing more. If you found it very difficult in some of those boxes on the previous sheet to write anything in one of the boxes, it may be that serving better means serving more, but you can't just keep adding to the list. That's just not sustainable, and I'm sure you know that. And the second thing is that there is always a danger with exercise like these, that we reduce service down to activity, that we make it all about action and not about faith. So as we do this exercise, please understand we're setting it in the context of the Christian gospel, which is that we're not saved by our works, we're not saved by our activity, but we are saved to do works. And so it's a useful exercise to do, but we have to set it in the context of the wider gospel. Please don't mistake filling out that chart for salvation or for how your worth is before the Lord and things like that. The third thing to say is that faithfulness also means protection. We promise to protect one another. And so actually protecting one another can sometimes mean saying to one another, no, or you're doing too much, or do you really need to be doing that? Or can you not stop doing that? You're overextended. Actually, we're the best measure of one another's ability to keep going, our perseverance, our kind of burnout factor. And actually, we need to be able to say to one another, honestly, if we're being faithful in our marriage, we need to be able to say to one another, you're taking on too much, or you can't possibly do that, or that's just not realistic. A little book that you may find helpful is one that we've written, and this is a very cheap book, but it's basically a little workbook for thinking about life. And we wrote it initially for people who are in full-time ministry. But of course, everyone is in ministry of some kind, aren't they? You know, all the service we do, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's at home or whether it's at church or whether it's serving others, it's all a kind of ministry. And so even though the exercises in here are written for couples who are in ministry, you'll find they're really helpful. It's just a little workbook to take this one particular room, the home office, and work through it in a bit more detail. It's called Glorious Union, and you'll find that in the bookstore. Right, we're done for today. We're going to carry on tomorrow. We've got three more rooms to go. Hope you'll be able to join us tomorrow. We've got three more rooms to finish off. I'm going to hand back to Claire.
Well, thank you so much, Adrian and Celia. I think it'll be good to thank them by giving them a good clap. I certainly found that very, very helpful, very practical, very thought-provoking. So let's finish. I'll pray as we end. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that practical wisdom. And as we take those thoughts away, I pray that you would help us to act on them. For those of us who came with our other half, I pray that you would help us to talk about what we've learned together and to see what steps we can take to improve our faithfulness in those two rooms of our marriage. And for those who came on our own, I pray that you would help us not to nag our spouses, not to tell them what they should do, but to talk through the things that we've learnt, to encourage us to listen and to put practical steps in place to make our marriages more faithful to each other and to you. For Jesus' sake, amen.